either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلما دخلوا على يوسف آوى إليه أبويه وقال ادخلوا مصر إن شاء الله آمنين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, when the sons had given information to their father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, that indeed Yusuf alayhi salam is alive, their brother, and that he is the great minister of Egypt. And later on, the sons also repented. They were remorseful of the sins they had committed, the wrong they did. And they had asked the father to make dua for them. And so this was all covered and mentioned in the last session. However, it was arranged by Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam that Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam and the entire family should move to Egypt and they should join with their son Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And so mashallah, the brothers and our youth that are sitting on that side leaning against the wall, mashallah, it's fine. Come in the house of Allah and relax, no problem. But please listen attentively. You don't want to be so comfortable that you miss out from the very reason why Allah has given you permission to come to the house of Allah. So mashallah, listen very attentively. Otherwise, it would be better for people to be at home relaxing. So come and mashallah, sit comfortably, but listen very attentively. So mashallah, the Quran enters the heart. So it was arranged by Yusuf alayhi salam that the father should come to Egypt. And so this was the plan. And so with the sons, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had said, bring the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, to Egypt. And so that is where we continue tonight. Verse number 99. The Quran says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفُ. And so when this entourage, when this convoy came, of all the brothers, including Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, scholars have mentioned that out of ikram, the honor that the children or individuals need to give to someone who is senior is to receive them to the outskirts of that city. And so Yusuf alayhi salam did not go to Canaan, but with 400 royal guards of Egypt came to meet the father outside of Egypt, awaiting for the father to enter. And from Canaan there was only one route. And so to give him that honor, 400 royal guards, And behind the guards, all of the Egyptians were also outside parading, waiting, that now we will be given an opportunity to see the father of this minister. And everyone had heard of this very ajeeb, beautiful story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now some of the scholars have mentioned that from a distance, when Yaqub alayhi salam had seen that there are 400 royal guards and so many people, so he said to one of his sons, is that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, that is traveling out? So they said to him, Abba Jan, no. Behind is your son, Yusuf, who is waiting for you, and these are his royal guards. And subhanAllah, he was so happy. After decades, imagine, from being a very little boy, Yusuf alayhi salam, to now being a man, 4-5 decades thereafter, for the eyes to see his very beautiful son. And so when Yusuf alayhi salam had seen Yaqub alayhi salam, and Yaqub alayhi salam had seen the son Yusuf alayhi salam, ulama have mentioned that this was a very emotional scene. And it's very difficult actually to capture that in words. But scholars have mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam was crying profusely, and so was Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam hugged him in such a way that did not want Yusuf to go away from him. And so he hugged him and he met him, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam kissed his father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. This reunion, this meeting, after such a long period of time. But understand, as we say in Urdu, Allah ki rahmat mein der hai lekin andher nahi hai. You know, with patience, Allah Pak will give a person everything that he wants, inshallah. So we see the struggle between father and son, both mighty messengers and prophets of Allah. And subhanallah, with 400 royal guards, he is receiving Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And scholars have mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was saying to his father, Abba, you knew the dream that I had mentioned in front of you, but why were you still so scared? Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah is samad. What is he? Allahus samad. Allah is completely, samad means independent. Allah is not indigent. Allah needs no one. And so, for me, the greatest blessing was your iman. This is something which was very, very important. And khair, the Quran says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ. So when they all entered upon their son, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and amazing words of the Quran. And I said to you that every word of the Quran has got a very important message. The Quran says, Awa ilayhi abawayhi. Awa ilayhi abawayhi. That Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam sheltered his parents. Awa means to give refuge. Awa means that he sheltered his parents. From this verse of the Quran, scholars have mentioned that the responsibility of looking after parents is with the sons. Looking after the parents, that responsibility is with who? With the sons. The male siblings, the sons. They have to look after the parents. This is the zimmedari here. So we see the Quran giving us a message that he sheltered. And so now, of course, when you have children, each child will be of a different capacity. And, you know, someone Allah might have blessed that Allah has given him wealth and he is well to do. And sometimes you'll find that the parents are happy with certain people, certain children. And whatever the situation, the reward is given to the children who understand this duty and look after their parents. This is something that is very, very important for us to understand. If they are daughters, then scholars have mentioned that when daughters get married, then for the girl, her responsibility is the husband. Her responsibility is the husband, to look after the husband and to look after her own children. And where you have sons, the sons have a responsibility to look after the wife and his own sons and also the parents. So this is the balance that Islam has given. Now in some cases where the father might not have any sons, then of course it would be good for the son-in-laws to understand the situation and allow some time and some leniency that because the father and the mother don't have sons and only daughters, sometimes the daughters can also play a very important role in serving the parents. And so we see this proof also in the story of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Shu'aib alayhi salatu was salam became very, very old, and he was looked after by his daughters. That is mentioned in the Quran. So the complete care was taken by the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salatu was salam. But then we also see the beautiful balance that Islam has put, that the son-in-law became who? Who was the son-in-law? Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salatu was salam was the one who got married to one of the daughters. And so this balance is there all the time in Shariat. So when we see Islam, Islam has always, alhamdulillah, looked after people who are weak. And so that is why if a father has got a daughter, subhanallah, it becomes the duty of the father to look after the daughter, not until she is 16 or 17 or 18, but until she gets married. Now when she gets married, at the time of nikah, there is a contract that is exchanged. And that is called mahar. What is it? Mahar. This mahar, the husband has to give. And this is an exchange of contract or responsibility between the father and the son-in-law to be, that until now it was my duty to look after my daughter, now this responsibility in front of the people is yours, and so you begin by giving a share. So now what happens? He gives the mahar. What does he do? He gives the mahar. And when he gives the mahar and the minute ruksati, consummation of marriage is done, then wholly and solely the responsibility comes onto the husband to look after the wife. She is not required to work if she chooses not to work. If she chooses not to work, she doesn't need to work. And in the ideal world, alhamdulillah, a man should provide so that the system of the house is running well. And then what happens is that so much support is given to the mother that generally she will have the support of her own children. But as the children become younger and as mashallah, they age slowly, they are very young, but now they will age and the parents become old. That is the time the responsibility now moves to the sons. And so that is why we have one very beautiful verse of the Quran which is reminding us of our responsibility, that always make dua and say this dua, Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. O Allah, have mercy upon both of them, like how they showed mercy to us when we were... Saghira means a literal translation. Saghir means something that is small. Something that is small. So imagine from day one you were born, subhanallah, from that period of time your parents have been looking after you. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that remember your early stage when you were small, young and weak? Look at that. Why? Because insan has a tendency that when he is in his own comfort zone, he forgets everything else and the difficulty that others might have suffered for him to be in that position. So the Quran is reminding him, rewind your tape and go back. Think when you were 1 year of age, 2 years of age, 5 years of age, 6 years of age, 10 years of age, 15 years of age, 20 years of age. And so to always keep this balance is very, very important. Now what happens also sometimes, the son is caught between two people. The wife, she is nagging at him all the time, you're there. And sometimes he, when he is alone, thinks that, oh, I wish I could do more for my mother and father. But sometimes he is finding it difficult for the other situation that might be there. This happens only when the wife lacks Islamic education. When the wife lacks Islamic education. Some women are very jahil, unfortunately they, and some men are also very jahil for that matter. Sometimes men don't have the understanding, what is my responsibility and role. So people should not feel that, you know what, oh, now I'm a businessman, I got married, I don't have any responsibility, my responsibility is only my children. No, no, your responsibility is more than just your children, it's extended much more than that. So here we see the key phrase, the words that the Quran uses, that awa ilayhi. The Quran did not have to say this, but certain words are put in to enforce and for people to understand and to study that he sheltered Yaqub alayhi salam. Now all of the brothers, how many brothers were there? So many. But who was in the best position? Who was in the best position? Yusuf alayhi salam. And the one who was in the best position took the lead. And he says, no, my parents have to live with me. My brothers can also come. And so the entire family then came to Egypt to settle with who? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And so nowadays, unfortunately, what happens, my respected brothers and elders, that the world that we live in today and the society that we live in today is very, very different. And our mindset sometimes is also very, very different. In the Western world, what is the trend? The trend is that the father and mother, when they have children, when the child is 16, 17, 18, when he goes to college, university, then he breaks away from the mother and father, and he has got his own life, and we have got our own life, and there is no communication between the children. And I will do what I have to do and they will do whatever they have to do. We will help ourselves and they can help themselves. And we don't have any responsibility. That is the kind of mindset that is out there. But in Islam, it's not about that. In Islam, and where you find very good culture, you will see that this is never the situation. Otherwise, it's a very, very lonely life. Somebody who is working for a firm and just to visit the elderly, he was telling me that I only go to their house to visit because nobody comes to visit them for 25 to 30 minutes when I'm in the house. They have some human being in front of them that they can communicate with. What a pitiful life. That is why, my respected brothers, the family structure in Islam is the best. And when you break away from that family structure of Allah and His Rasul, it is the worst. Because slowly what will happen, a time comes when you find yourselves that you are in the complete care of the state. Even your own children don't wish to pay money for you or look after you. And the state has to look after you. And when you are in that bed and when you can't move and the bullying that is done by some of the staff, the nurses and the things that you hear, Allahu Akbar Kabira. And that is why sometimes the dog becomes the man's best friend at an old age. Because no human beings are there. And the dog and the cats and the animals take the place of a human being. And by the way, just for your information, I was reading today that even a dog in Hong Kong caught coronavirus. So in Hong Kong, there's a dog that's loose that's got coronavirus. So brothers, just be careful. But subhanallah al-azim, the family structure, this is what the Quran is not just telling us, read the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They are hidden gems. The Quran is telling you are hidden gems in the Quran. That family structure, subhanallah, eating together from one pot, eating together. Again, in this modern world, we've lost that. People have a different timetable. The father comes at 7 o'clock. The mother comes at 6 o'clock. The mother might do a late shift. The children come early. The children have eaten. The father eats alone. Mother eats alone. Grandparents eat alone. Completely against the ethos of Islam. There's no barakah. Absolutely no barakah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And so this is a great shame, my respected brothers and elders. And then what is also very important for our children is that don't just isolate yourself in the room and sit alone, but make it a habit to sit with the family together. This is quality time, quality. You will miss out. You will never ever see this again in your life. Once this goes, you will lose everything. Everything else otherwise is artificial. But when you sit with the family that is around you, and you strike a conversation, and when you talk, that is great ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become obedient also to our parents, and the boys understand their responsibility, the girls understand their responsibility. Islam has given access to every situation. And then another very important topic, ajeeb, subhanallah, look at the Quran. Just in one ayat, verse number 99. So here, very emotional. Yaqub alayhi salam meets his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And then the Quran says he gave shelter, explaining why it's important to look after your parents, especially at that age when they are elderly. And then Yusuf alayhi salam said something very amazing. He said to his father, Udkhulu Misr. Misr is Egypt. What is Misr? The name of Egypt is Misr. So he said, Abba, enter Egypt. Insha'Allah. What did he say? Insha'Allah. You know the meaning of Insha'Allah, if Allah wills. He said, enter Egypt Aminin, inshaAllah, Aminin, that in Egypt for you there is complete security. What is Amin? Aminin comes from the word Aman. Where does it come from? Aman. So he is saying, you have moved from Canaan. Where have you moved from? Canaan. Now obviously when you have stayed in Canaan for such a long period of time, and when you come to a new locality in a new area, you know, the father needs to be comforted. Although Yusuf is there, but he's giving the assurance to Abba Jan, Abba, you know, this is Misr, don't worry. Don't worry. This Egypt is a place of aman for you, as I am the minister. Who am I? I am the minister. Now here, oh ho, there are so many masail that we need to cover and we need to tackle, and it is very important for us to understand. So brothers, give me your attention and listen to some of the masail. We see that Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had said something similar. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا Surah Baqarah. He says, O my Allah, make this city of Makkah baladan amina. Baladan amina means a city that is of security. A city that is of complete security. Ban kar de bhai. That's it. Zikr fikr ho raha hai. So, baladan amina. Make this city a city of complete safety and security. We see two great messengers. Ibrahim alayhi salam speaking in this language, Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then of course, the Quran speaks of where Huzur alayhi salam had settled, Wattin, Wazzaytun, Waturi Sinin. And then what, Hafizab? Wahadal Baladil Amin. So this is the Baladil Amin, the city of peace. Now in this ayat kareema, the verses, the Quran, the Kalam of Allah is teaching the people of Iman where they should invest to buy a house and where they should settle. Where they should settle. Where you should have your own residence. So the key words for a person to settle in which part of the world, the first thing you look at is a country that gives you complete security. What is it? A country that gives you complete security. If a country gives you complete security, then this is the place where you can actually stay. In the Islamic terminology, we have what we call certain rulings. So for an example, three things are very, very important. Your life, your wealth, and your honor. What is it? Your life, your wealth, and your honor. You know, you might be living in a country where you find that, oh, this country is very safe and very good. All of a sudden, they seize all your assets, take charge of all your bank accounts. You were a billionaire and you were a millionaire, overnight you've become a beggar. You know, this can happen. And so your wealth and your life and your honor. So you find honor is something that needs to be protected. So a lot of the times you'll find with the media and with all these, you know, digital platforms that are out there, Facebook, this book, that book, and sometimes, you know, you can write something about somebody and 2,000 people can read. So your honor and dignity has to be protected. A country that gives you three things. A country that guarantees you that your life is protected. A country that gives you this honor, that your honor, your izzat is also protected, you will not be mocked, and also your wealth is your wealth and it is also protected. These are things that are very, very important for us to understand. Now, where should you live? Where should you buy a house? Our fuqaha, Islamic jurisprudence have debated this and have talked about this, looking into the Quran and Hadith. The most favorable position for a Muslim to live in is in Darul Islam. Where? Darul Islam. Darul Islam means a country in which you are completely free to practice your faith, Islam, in which majority of the people are of the same faith to you, and in which the Quran and the Sunnah is respected. So there is no open violation or something that goes against the Kalam of Allah or the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this would be the best position for a person to invest. This is where he should move and this is where he should live. This is where he should live. This is something for us to understand. Why? Because, subhanallah, you will have the freedom of your faith. There is no issue. You can enjoy. You want to build a masjid. There's no 15, 20 conditions. Adhan can be given. Your children will never be harassed. Madrasa is there. The food is not an issue. Everything is also halal for you. So you will be living very, very comfortably. The second category for a person, not everybody can live, of course, in Darul Islam. People come from many parts of the world that were colonized. And then when that country was independent, people were given a choice where to move to. And so another country a person can move to live is a place that is called Darul Aman. Darul Aman. Darul Aman means where a person is the citizen, but he is a protected citizen. He is in the minority. What is he? When you look at faith, he is in the minority, but he is still the citizen of that country, and therefore he is a protected citizen. What is he? So this means Darul Aman. Darul Aman, a person, ulama have given permission that you can live in. So, which are the countries that are considered as Darul Aman? Countries like UK. So, UK, you are given permission to live. You have your masjid. You are a citizen. You have your rights. You are protected, alhamdulillah, and things like that. But then, the future, nobody knows. So, the ulama say that the situation can change any time. Let me give you a classic example for us to understand. India, not for decades, but for centuries, Muslims lived in India. And they are a minority as compared to the other Hindu community that is there. And there was never an issue. You had the mandir, you had the masjid, you had Muslims, you had the Hindu community, the Christian community, the Parsi community, everybody living there properly, business was being done, everything was fine. You know, it was given independence because of this, that every faith that fought for the independence, they will have their rights. But now what happens? Now what happens? The complete opposite. That if you are a Muslim living in an area where it is not a Muslim colony, but you are living amongst as two, three families amongst the Hindu community, and if they are influenced by the BJP or the RSS, then we see mob lynching, we see masjids that are being burnt. It is so funny when you hear the news and the words they use, communal violence. Are you daft? You call this communal violence? This is a fascist regime fighting an anti-fascist group of people, bichare. People who have got nothing. So what they do is that they are killing, they are burning. So all of a sudden you live here, and then outside of your house you've got 1,000 people with swords, guns. Subhanallah, they want to burn you alive. you know, kill your women, and the atrocities and the killing is something that is unimaginable. You would not even want to do this to your worst enemy. Not even to your worst enemy. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So there is no safety. Now all of a sudden, a country that was Darul Aman is no longer of Aman. So there is no guarantee when you live in a country that if the hard right-wing party comes into power, then within 2-3 months, everything changes. The laws can change. No more masjids, no more azan, no more hijab. In France, in certain areas, you have to shut your grocery. If you want to live in this city, you have to sell pork. And you see, things can change dramatically. So that is why the fuqaha say, if you are living in a Darul Aman country in which you are a minority, then the least you should do is to buy a property that is in the community. What is it? In the heart of the community, rather than to be venturing out somewhere else. Why? Because then you will be an easy prey. They will give you difficulty. Things will be very, very difficult. You see, when you are with your herd, it's very difficult. But when you move away and when you single your way out, then it becomes very, very difficult, very, very hard. So these are just some of the masail that Islam, alhamdulillah, directs people to. And then the third category in which it is haram for a person to live is a country that is called Darul Kufr. What is it called? Darul Kufr is that country which is so racist and they just don't believe in faith and they don't allow you to practice your faith. If they see the Quran, like in some parts of, you know, where you had communism, even in China, that if you have the Quran, you will be punished, you will be put into prison. If there are individuals living in that locality, then the ulama say it becomes farz for the people to migrate from there and to move in other countries in which a person has been given access to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, vice versa. Somebody might be thinking we're only talking about of the rights of the Muslims, but what about the rights for the non-Muslims that is living in a Muslim country? So if anybody here is a historian or has read history, you will know that the Christians and the Jews enjoyed living under the Islamic Khilafat as a minority than even living in their own country. Why? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if you take the property of a zimmi, zimmi means a non-Muslim resident that is living in a Muslim country, and if he is not given the rights of worship, and if he is not given the rights that you enjoy, or if you wrongfully harm that person, then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, on the day of judgment, I will be standing against you. Can you imagine that? This is the favor that Allah's Rasul gave to those who were non-Muslims. That is why in books like Hidayah and the books of Fiqh, it will tell you that if a Muslim has killed a non-Muslim who is a minority living in a Muslim state, then it becomes the Islamic duty of the courts there to punish that Muslim in the same way as he punished that non-Muslim. This was the equal rights that Islam gave also to the non-Muslims. That is why they had to pay jizya, because Muslims had to pay zakat. So in the Islamic Khilafat, the Muslims had to give zakat. And because zakat is not farz upon the non-Muslims, to give them the complete benefit and protection, they had to give jizya, like how the Muslims had to give zakat. So you will find that so much justice is given also to the non-Muslim community that lived in a Muslim country. So we have to be very, very careful nowadays, my respected brothers and elders, that where we are choosing to live, in which city, where we are. We've seen 10, 15 years ago in Serbia, what happened? In Bosnia, what happened? In one day, 10,000 Muslims were butchered. How many? 10,000 people just killed. And in India, you know, what was shocking 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump and Modi both together made a speech and they said, we are both tackling terrorism in the world. Isn't that a joke? When a few years ago, when Modi was the chief minister of Gujarat, he himself was denied visa to America to prevent, you know, this anti-Muslim terrorism that they are committing. It is their party. Look what they are doing. And so it is very, very ajeeb, my respected brothers, how things can change. That is why it is so important in Islam to vote. Because if you don't vote, maybe someone will come into power that will make life very, very difficult for you. So investing and to buy a property and where you are doing business, these are not things that you feel we can do wherever we want. You have to be very, very careful. That is why also to buy a property, the first thing you look at is what? Huh? Your neighbors. The first thing you look at is your neighbors. Who are your neighbors? Your neighbors are very, very important that you look at your neighbors. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so here, Yusuf alayhi salam guaranteed his father that, Abba, look, you know, you come to this country, Egypt, your wealth is protected, your honor is protected, your life is protected, I am the minister. And remember, at that time, most of the Egyptians were non-Muslims. What were they? Most of the Egyptians were non-Muslims. And so, alhamdulillah, Islam, we have a legacy of a justice system. But sadly, what has happened is that with the media and the false propaganda, the foolish have been very successful in labeling the Muslims as terrorists. And they've been very successful. And you know, like the marketing strategy that you have, when you want to market something, you do it in your, and you have to spend millions and billions of pounds. And so this is what they do. Millions and billions of pounds is spent in just making sure negative media is shown to put the Muslims down. But alhamdulillah, no matter how much you spend, we are the followers of that Nabi who Allah says that he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And Rahmatul Lil Alameen means that he is an embodiment of mercy. Embodiment of mercy. And so these are things that are very, very important. It is very, very sad that, you know, people play around with the Muslim community. When it's time for Qurbani, the prices of goats become very expensive. Ajeeb. When it's time for Hajj, the flights become 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pounds. A community in which the houses were being sold for 150,000, you go and build a masjid there, is 250. Premium, just because of a masjid. And this is mazak and this is masti that certain people are playing with the community. Allahu Akbar, Allah give us the tawfiq that alhamdulillah we should be well-wishers. We should be well-wishers. And here I stop because some of the masail are very, very important that we had to look into to make sure that where the best choice would be for a person to live in. And so, of course, looking at the halat now in the Western society and where we live, there is really no guarantee what can happen tomorrow. What can happen tomorrow, nobody knows. So what we are enjoying right now, we should not feel very complacent that alhamdulillah, this and that. Anything can happen anytime if you are living in Darul Aman. But if you are in Darul Islam, possibly due to other factors, some things can happen. But it will not affect, and there will be no hindrance to the protection of your iman and the iman of also your children. That is why you will find that now in schools, education, it's not called education, playing and tampering with your mind is put in front of the children, which is not even education. Why? To change the mindset of the children. Because they are not interested in me. So if you are over 40, we don't need you. People who are over 40, you don't interest us. We want your flock. Your children belong to the state. They belong to us. We program them. We will tell you what to do in your madrasa. We will bring legislations. You will have to compromise. We bring the legislation. You compromise. And this is where the difficulty lies when you live in countries like Darul Aman. You don't find that in places like Darul Islam. There, why? A lot of power is also given to the ulama, and they will speak what is happening. But here, you can't do that. Otherwise, you will be considered as a hate preacher. But sab terrorist thore hote, Maulvi ko hate preacher kehte. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. MashaAllah, if you just close your eyes for a few minutes and do muraqabah, MashaAllah, purification of the heart is so important. Let us do zikr of Allah. Think of the beautiful name of Allah that has given us hidayat, noor in the heart, and take His name, inshallah, just for a few minutes. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.